If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, you should know that Elise and I have done over 100 episodes covering the entire Sex and the City series, as well as the first movie. So check those out and make sure to change your settings to play in sequential order. Also, check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Here's the show. Carrie's new book arrives.
I do. Do I?
Do I? Yeah. The phone rings and it's Charlotte wondering if she should be worried about the nanny.
Do I have anything to worry about?
Can you be more specific?
I mean, with the nanny and Harry.
That's just Samantha.
You're the one who said that thing about Jude Law.
Oh, sweetie, it was a joke. You know, it was right there. I had to go for it.
And it was funny.
Okay, so this is one of the things in the movie review by Roger Ebert that annoyed me. It was that he said, because Charlotte, we find out, is wearing vintage Dior. And he said her first mistake or something along these lines is wearing vintage Dior while making muffin topping. It's a cupcake, you idiot. Like, that's what pissed me off the most.
Just him misidentifying
muffin
a
topping.
Cupcake.
Yeah. So, of course, Lily's screaming like, Mommy, look, look.
Yeah,
we see the paint.
There's chaos in the kitchen and maybe get off the phone.
Right. Maybe get off the phone. You're doing too much.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. Yeah, she's making... I actually wrote Lily's making a mess with paint, ? Does she just have just paint?
Yeah.
Like, that's not great also. Like, they're definitely... You should not be on the phone. Not trying to blame her. She's going to have a hard time in a minute. Lily ruins her...
Mike Jensen, Parenting 101. Is that paint?
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I know. As a child, I wasn't allowed to eat nerds in the house. That was like one of my mother's cardinal rules, which I still don't really understand, and she doesn't remember making that. But I remember, like, anytime Nate or I had nerds, she'd be like, not in the house! I'm like, oh, okay.
It's a terrifying candy, apparently.
Yeah, never could eat nerds in the house.
Yeah, we ruined Charlotte's vintage skirt. Mm-hmm. Charlotte goes into the pantry, and I do say this is honestly probably Kristen Davis's best work.
The pantry, or is it her jam closet? Because if you look behind, there's about like 73 jars of different jams.
She doesn't know what kind she's going to want for breakfast that morning.
Yeah.
Aaron ends up opening the door and then quickly ushering Lily out, like, yeah. Sees that there's an issue. And
yeah,
is like,
and I'm like, Aaron knows how to do this job.
Yeah, Aaron's good at her job. We're at Samantha's office in Times Square, mm-hmm. And Samantha is freshening up.
Just panties down.
Yeah, we got the line at the end of it of like, I have to put my panties on and get to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there's a South Pacific billboard in the background.
Mm.
Sort of a shout out to Kelly O'Hara.
Oh, yeah, Kelly O'Hara.
Yeah. And then we have Condola Rashad.
Yep.
She's great. I know her primarily from theater.
Mm-hmm.
Stickfly. Was that her first big thing?
That is a thing.
Yeah, I believe that was her big break. I saw her in A Doll's House 2. I saw her in Trip to Bountiful. She was also in... Yeah, she's a fantastic actress. And there you go. She plays the receptionist in this.
Is she the daughter of...
She is.
Felicia Rashad?
Yes.
Was Felicia Rashad... Who was the original in the movie Trip to Bountiful? Was that Felicia Rashad?
No, the original movie Trip to Bountiful was... I want to say Geraldine Page.
Okay. I have absolutely no idea that who it was.
It was a white woman. It was not originally played...
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was recently, and by recently, several years ago, done on Broadway with a black cast, but it was originally a lot of white people.
I don't know.
Page won the Academy Award for it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Little side trip there.
It's 12, and your lunch is at 12:30.
I'm just freshening up.
Call the restaurant and tell them I'm going to be 15 minutes late.
Samantha Jones. Smith Jared's on the phone.
Yeah, Smith is on the phone, and we have a how do we know each other moment.
And he wants... her to accompany him to the premiere of his new movie, because if it wasn't for her, he wouldn't be where he is.
Which is very sweet.
Yes.
Very, very nice.
And they have a very great relationship, it sounds like.
Yes.
So she's gonna go.
So Big made a delicious anniversary meal.
Mm-hmm. And once again, Carrie has food on her face.
Yeah. He goes to get more wine and she has a gift for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very nice vintage watch engraved, Me and You, Just Us Two.
Which is from the earlier conversation.
Correct.
With Kelly O'Hara.
Yes.
Now, this moment in this movie, there's been a few things. So when I'm watching TV or movies right now, sometimes I get this thing where I'm like, there's too many people. Where are their masks? Like, that stuff happens to me. Just watching this moment right now, watching this really beautifully wrapped gift, watching him open it, watching them share this dinner and just enjoying it, and not him like taking a picture of the gift before he opens it and like them Instagramming a boomerang of them cheersing their glasses, like all that stuff. It just reminds me, like, just enjoy the moment. And how lucky I feel sometimes that you and I are in that age group of the people who, like, remember to take a picture every once in a while, but it's not the first thing on my brain.
Yeah, I actually do it rarely.
Yeah, me too. I feel like that line from Avenue Q, like, I wish I had taken more pictures.
Yeah,
sometimes. You know, sometimes I do feel that. But yeah, me and you, just us two. And then he lets her know that her gift is in the bedroom.
There better be something in there I haven't already seen.
And it's a state-of-the-art flat-screen TV, so they can watch TV in bed. And Carrie is not impressed.
She's not impressed, and it's almost borderline Veruca Salt behavior.
Yeah, it's a
Willy
bit much.
Wonka.
So he's like, did I fuck up? And her comment of... a piece of jewelry would have been nice. And I wrote, bad Carrie.
Yeah. But once again, it's Carrie.
Right. And like, we've all probably reacted inappropriately to certain things that I've almost looked back and I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Or like, why did I say it that way? So I try to have some grace, but this is not Carrie at her best.
Mm-mm.
So she wants to go to the premiere with Samantha because she wants some glamour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the television and the ordering in, it's just getting a little too... Mr. and Mrs. Married.
And I wrote, Carrie is chasing some kind of dragon here.
Yeah, and we find it out. She says, like, they need to go out.
It feels like in this moment, she's missing that girl who was running around New York City that we're going to reference much later in the film.
Right.
But in this moment, she's idealized that person.
Right.
She's looked back at her past and been like, that was great. When I was running around and being glamorous and having, you know, parties. And that seems to be the mode that she's in right now. And Samantha finds a dress for the premiere. And Jennifer Farron is working and has been in every single New York TV series. So I didn't write any of them down.
Okay, I don't know her, but...
she's just like, if you look her up, she's literally like, if it filmed in New York, she had a role in it at some point.
So what can I help you with?
Well, we need to find a red carpet look for my friend Samantha here.
And I think we found it.
Is that maybe a little young?
This has to be salesmanship 101.
Oh,
that
of
you
course.
Don't say
you would
this
never
next
say
thing.
This. Yeah, it's a little young.
Yeah.
No. And she says, I am 50 fucking two and I will rock that dress.
And then Carrie's like, did you have to do that to her?
And another thing I didn't realize right now is that Samantha is Carrie's PR person.
Yeah, I had a moment with this as well where Vogue wants Carrie to write a companion piece for the book and it's Sam telling Carrie that.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, yeah, Samantha has some sort of aspect of Carrie's professional life now.
Mm-hmm.
So Big comes home and it's the night of the premiere.
And he gets on the couch.
Oh, don't get too comfortable on that couch. We have to be at the premiere in an hour.
Is that tonight?
Mm-hmm.
On a Monday?
Yes.
The market's dropped and Big doesn't want to go out.
He doesn't want to go out.
Can't she go without him? He picked up Japanese and that somehow upsets her.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes over and pours some whiskey and then tells him to throw it back and we're going.
And when she pours that whiskey, bourbon, scotch, whatever it is she pours, I thought she was going to chug it and leave him.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Bottoms up. I'll put on a fresh shirt.
And it is at the Ziegfeld.
Yeah, we're at the Ziegfeld. This is now a event space. It's no longer a theater.
Mm.
But I did go, I saw Chicago the musical there. It was one of the very last large movie theaters in New York. And I don't think that any of them exist anymore. I think the last single movie house is the Paris, which is owned by Netflix.
Mm.
So, yeah, there aren't really any
single... You mean large movie theaters, like large single movie theaters?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, because some of the chain ones have larger venues.
Right.
But this was like a 2,000-seat movie. Like, it was huge. There was also one similar to that below the Minskoff in Times Square that I think is now a concert venue. It's the Nokia now, yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw What Lies Beneath there, and I saw one of the Lord of the Rings there.
Oh, wow.
And there is something about seeing a movie with, like, 2,000 people that is a very singular experience.
And right now, it's so scary.
Now it's terrifying. So, yeah, for the record, this usher is Kevin .com Brown, who plays .com on 30 Rock. He's like a recurring character.
Okay.
I just was like, wait, .com. Yeah, there you go. So that's him. Samantha looks great.
Yeah.
She looks fantastic in that dress.
And you else looks great in that dress?
Who else looks great in that dress?
Miley Cyrus. And here's the thing. I like Miley Cyrus. I think she's super talented, especially now, like where she does a lot of that, like, just singing. She's got some good,
she does some singing.
She's a good performer, and I like her, and I like that she's, you know, she's kind of messy, but she owns it, and she makes I don't know. I just think she's really, I think from what I've seen, unless there's been some new stuff happening, Miley Cyrus seems to like be growing up in front of us and finding herself and never being like, I shouldn't have done that.
For sure. I mean, I think that it's that hard thing of being a child star that you literally go through your awkward phase in front of everybody.
So anyway, I was just kind of knowing what I know about her now. I was like, oh, I hope she's not mean to Samantha. And I love that she just like puts her arm around her. Because I feel like Miley Cyrus would do that now.
For sure.
So, and then we have awkward times too.
Tim Gunn, bitchy queen.
Do you want to hear a fun Tim Gunn story?
Sure.
So I'm working brunch. And for those of you who work in restaurants, especially New York City restaurants, brunch sucks.
Brunches are the worst thing that can happen to a person.
Yeah, ever. And especially if you've worked like the night before. So at this particular restaurant, we were wearing white button-down blouses. Mine was just stained completely from the night before. Just red wine all over it, wrinkled AF. And I was like, should I iron my shirt? And my coworker was like, no, it's fine. It's brunch. It's who cares? It's brunch. And I'm like, yeah, who cares? It's brunch. She's like, yeah, who cares? It's brunch. And then he goes and checks my section. He goes, you just got sad. It's Tim Gunn. Go iron your shirt. That's all. And then I was like joking that like if he asked for something we didn't have on the menu, I would be like, we'll make it work.
So we're at the after party and Samantha is seated with the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Sheik Khalid, played by Art Malik, and Mahmoud, I hope I'm saying that correctly.
I think it is Mahmoud.
Played by Dafur Labadeen. Anyways, Mahmoud comes up later, so I want to mention him here.
Right.
Smith says that he owes everything to Samantha.
It's all her. I was just a waiter before she came along. She handled my public relations and made everybody see me as a star.
And we get into an Abu Dhabi versus Dubai debate. And apparently Dubai is over. So he refers to Abu Dhabi as a progressive global city of culture, commerce, and style. Just putting that out there now.
Okay.
Very progressive.
This is the new Middle East.
A new Middle East.
But you should see it for yourself. As my guest at my new hotel. And if it does not interfere too much with your wonderful time, we might be able to discuss some business.
So we get to Carrie talking to Stanford about her issues.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly, it's all about the couch. 2 years ago, we never even uttered the word couch. Now our entire universe revolves around it.
Count your blessings. Remember when you couldn't even get him to sleep over?
Yeah, I know. But we're out tonight. He could at least slap on a smile and try to have a good time.
And Stanford is the one that notices Big talking to Penelope Cruz.
I knew this was Penelope Cruz.
Good job.
Yeah, Penelope Cruz was in that Versace thing, right?
Yes.
She played Donatella.
Donatella, and I was certain she was going to win an Emmy Award.
She didn't.
She did not. She's the senior vice president of the Bank of Madrid. Apparently, she filmed this in 2 hours.
I saw that, too. We must have read some of the same stuff.
And suddenly, Carrie is Preston again.
Yep.
And well, she's also ready to go. Yeah, in this case, she suddenly has...
Yeah.
John's last name. I said, we're maybe watching The Deadliest Catch?
I think we are.
Yeah, and Carrie's getting ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV is too loud.
And she's like, just take off the dress, Carrie. She's walking, her dress is unzipped, and she's like walking around holding the top up of
she
it.
She like holds it back up, and yeah. Then it goes to change again, yeah. Pulls it back up again.
And also, like, you have effed this man a lot for 10 years. He can see your boobs.
Yeah. And it's not a black and white movie. She's very, aggressively passive-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into what kind of married couple and are we going to be conversation.
I don't want to be one of those married couples lying in bed, watching television, and not talking. That is not the relationship I signed up for.
It's a television, not the end of the world.
Well, maybe to you it's not.
You're not happy in, you're not happy out.
And she looks sort of like dejected, but I'm like, he has a point, Gary.
Right.
He's just stating truths now.
Yeah.
And she brings up that it's just going to be you and me every night for the rest of our lives. And we're going to have to work on our sparkle. And there's a truth to that as well. I mean, marriages can easily become rote. You do have to work on keeping a marriage fun and fresh. But sometimes that might involve watching TV in bed.
Right.
So that night in bed, the TV's still on. She sort of like wakes up startled.
The Jack LaLanne power juicer.
Is that what's happening
there? Yeah, I just remember I had a roommate in college who had one. I never actually saw it in action, but no, that's nothing against her. It's just those things were like
right
a lot.
Yeah, so she turns the TV off and that's kind of it. We kind of have a weird shot of like the mighty coffee machine.
Oh, okay.
We, like, pan up a coffee machine, and Carrie's going to her old place to work.
Yes, she needs to lock herself in her room. Yeah. In her old room.
She said she still has the place because the market was bad.
Yeah.
She still has a lot of clothes there. I mean, that closet was full.
Right, of course. And, you know, it's interesting about, like, so this movie happened in 2010. So that's 2 years after that recession. And my other roommate was saying to me that when he first saw this, it was he just hated it because it's, like, all this luxury and stuff. And it just felt so insensitive to, like, what was going on in the world.
Yeah, it was purposeful, though. And that's why they went to Abu Dhabi, because they wanted there to be some kind of luxury. And they didn't feel like they could do that in New York.
Mm.
So they thought, well, let's go where they're actually doing okay. So that was thought through. I understand the point, but it was on purpose. So she also has a landline, and it's big, and she's concerned about her Vogue article. So she may stay there for the next 2 days.
Everything okay?
Yeah. No, I just feel like I really need to lock myself in a room and not think about anything but writing.
So the next day, she's meeting the girls for lunch. I like, is this the scene where Brady and Lily have their own table?
I didn't notice it.
I think that Brady and Lily are at a table next to the window when the girls are sitting. Yeah.
I love it at restaurants when kids have their own table.
Unless I'm waiting on them.
Oh, I don't mind because usually they're fine. I mean, like, kids like that age.
Sure. So Carrie says that she's always been fascinated by the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we learn that Samantha got them all invited.
I told the Sheikh I'd go on one condition. I get to bring my three best girlfriends.
Get out of town.
My point exactly. And we are being flown on the Sheikh's own airline.
He has his own airline?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is one chic Sheikh.
Super, super, super first class.
So 2 years of bad business in this bullshit economy, we need to go somewhere rich.
So that was kind of what I was saying earlier, that they literally wanted to go someplace rich, that Abu Dhabi was doing fine. So they wanted to set part of this there. They're going to be like super first class. They get their own suite on the plane, which I couldn't remember what it looked like until we got there. I was like, their own suite. Like, it is still very, very fancy. But for a moment, I was like, they have their own rooms? And they kind of do.
Yeah.
So Charlotte's the only apprehensive one. And we do reference that they haven't gone anywhere together since Carrie's honeymoon.
I mean, we haven't been anywhere together since Carrie and Big's wedding blow-up honeymoon disaster.
Oh, memories.
And that was 2 years ago.
Samantha pulls out the children's birthday party card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of it. That gets Charlotte to agree that they're all going to go to Abu Dhabi.
They're going to go.
And Carrie is printing out her article, Marriage and the Terrible Twos. Did you read any of this?
No. Did you?
Marriage and the Terrible Twos. Theirs was a 10-year courtship. Passion, tears, ecstasy, heartbreak, betrayal, breakups, manipulations, and magic moments of pure joy with occasional thoughts of suicide. Then they got married and the real drama began. The first year of marriage was calm and warm, the air charged with electricity. Later, she would identify that electricity as the same type of electricity that hangs in the air on a hot summer day, right before thunderstorm. Not a thunderstorm, just thunderstorm. The first clap of thunder was heard on the day after their second anniversary when he walked 3 steps ahead of her on their way to dinner. Yes, she had taken too long to dress, and yes, she was the reason they were going to be 20 minutes late, and yes, he would have heard the tone in her voice when she asked him to slow down a little, but no, she should have turned around and stormed home. 2 hours later, his key turned in their apartment door lock, and he entered, unapologetic, and worst of all, carrying takeout for her. That a lot of things don't make any sense in that article, but that's how it begins. There you go. That was my dramatic reading.
Thank you. And yes, and no, and hot, and warm.
Yeah. So the phone rings and it's Big. How did it go? And he's made them reservations.
I have 9 o'clock reservations.
Well, it's 8:30 already.
And he's downstairs in the car, and it's kind of that flashback.
And just
to,
like that, you know, it was 1998 again. And she comes out.
And she's wearing the dress. She's
the newspaper
wearing
the dress.
Yeah, that's the dress that she wore in the episode where she apologizes to Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I mean, I love that dress. It's beautiful. But I thought it was very interesting that they chose to wear that, have that dress again.
Hey, kid.
Hey.
I missed you.
I missed you.
And he missed her. And it is sweet. Their conversation in the cab is very sweet, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to Carrie packing for the Middle East. I can only imagine what a kind of process that would
be.
And Big brings up the idea that maybe they should live apart every week.
Yeah.
And I wrote, this feels like an overcorrection.
Right. And also what's interesting in this moment is she calls him Big. like talking, like saying, like, what am I going to say to the girls? Big and I are taking 2 days off. And I was wondering, when did they have that conversation? Like, hey, my friends and I call you Big.
Right. It feels like that would be a conversation at some point.
Right. They would have to be.
And she just sort of says that marriage doesn't work like that. And the conversation sort of continues over the course of several scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And Big feels like he's disappointing her all the time. And she wonders what she would tell the girls and they would never understand.
That was the Big and I are taking 2 days off a week. Yeah, and, you know, he was his original idea was he was going to get his own apartment.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, once again, he says they have the luxury to design their own life.
Right.
And he can even stay at her place for 2 days a week.
Why doesn't she go there?
And then I'm just like, this feels silly. Like, she is about to leave for an entire week.
Right.
Like, the answer might just be, hey, every once in a while, let's just do our own thing. No one has to live somewhere else.
Right. But the thing about a lot of men is that they don't necessarily, I mean, people, I guess, so that would be pretty rude to speak men, but sometimes we don't, our first reaction isn't like compromise, or our first reaction is very all or nothing.
Yeah. I remember reading an article talking about Woody Allen describing Waving Across the Park to Mia Farrow. And how a lot of men then took that to be like, that's the ideal relationship, that you're married to someone, but you live in separate places. And
I don't want to take relationship advice from Woody Allen.
No, not a
I don't
good
want to take
to
any
to.
Advice from Woody
Let's
Allen.
Not go to Woody Allen for any advice.
Gross.
So we're on the plane, and what is that hat?
Sure. What is that hat? And my first thought was, are there planes that are actually like this? And there are. This was modeled after an actual plane.
Yeah, it's pretty lavish.
Yeah.
It's pretty
that
incredible.
That hat is intense. I don't know, like, which way it goes.
And then Carrie's saying to the woman, like, I like your hat. I'm like, she has to wear that hat. That hat is part of her uniform.
You don't have to wear any hat.
And then
you
she's
born.
Like, and I thought this hat was too much. And I wrote, it is. It is.
It is. Yeah, her hat isn't too much.
It's all very fancy. Miranda's been studying. I do like that. The Miranda is like learning things.
What I love too is Miranda is actually so excited for this trip.
Yes.
Because I feel like, remember Atlantic City? She was like, it was, you know.
No, she wanted to go.
But it was just hard because of Brady. Like, this is the first time I think that she's actually like, she doesn't have a job. That's the one thing you notice.
That's very true. Her not having a job.
She's not on BlackBerry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we already learn right now that men and women don't embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is already me being like, progressive?
Right.
Anyway, Miranda pulls out a Cheating with the Nanny magazine, which maybe not great for Charlotte.
Right. And also, like, the progressive thing, I think, was just that guy. Because I don't know. Like, here's the thing is, I don't know. We'll see it more when we get to Abu Dhabi, but I don't think they did a ton of research on how to respectfully depict this place at all. So by them saying it's progressive is probably just their way of, so you have these moments of like, progressive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because I don't think that they are, everything is just offense galore.
So we go to the bar on the plane. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to see a plane with but I think you have to fly a long ways.
Right.
To get like the plane that has an actual bar. And Miranda learns how to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie brings up the 2 days apart plan. And mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that she presents it as though she's into it.
Big and I are thinking about taking 2 days a week apart to do our own thing.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just something we're talking about. You know, he would get 2 days off to do his things, and on those same days I would do my things, you know, like write or have dinner with you guys or I don't know, whatever.
Like, she brings it up like there's a thing we're thinking about doing, not right. Like there's a crazy thing that Big brought up. But I get why she does that. I like that she does it this way. I think it's that she's not going to be defensive about it.
Right, and and I also think it's a protection, like, technique, where it's like, if I talk about it in this way, then, like, maybe I can convince myself I'm okay with it.
Yeah, because we're going to have a great moment later where I think it's also like, I'm not going to be embarrassed by this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to feel bad about this. I'm going to say that we're thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Charlotte is the most concerned.
Right.
I just think marriage is two people. Night after night, sleeping in the same bed. You have four people in your bed.
Mm. I've had four people in my bed.
And Samantha shocks the bartender and then is off to get some sleep. Good old Samantha.
Yeah, that's just like one of her old standby moves.
And then the three ladies sort of carry on the conversation. And they're trying to figure out what works for them. And Charlotte even says, doesn't it hurt your feelings? To which Carrie feels the need to respond, you just don't get it.
Mm.
So I guess this is her version of defensive. Her mm-hmm. version is, I'm going to pretend like I'm okay with it. Like, it's almost like her defensive is being on offense. Mm. And then Carrie's just sort of wondering about relationships.
Yeah.
And the, you know, this is the thing that people talk about all the time. Can we ever expect people outside of a relationship to understand what's happening in a relationship?
Right. With going on between two people. Right.
And no.
No.
We've arrived and Samantha makes a virgin joke. Mm. For the record, we're at Marrakesh.
Yes.
Morocco. Morocco. That's where the airport is.
That's where everything's
That's where everything is. Yes. They filmed everything. I remember at the time them sort of painting it like, we were going to go to Abu Dhabi, but like they just didn't have exactly what we were looking for. And like, no, they were not allowed to film in Abu Dhabi because the script was seen and it was decided that it was too sexual to film there. So they were not allowed to film there. Instead, they filmed in Morocco. And we go through a luggage inspection.
Which I thought for sure Samantha's was just going to have like dildos in it. And that was going to be the bit. But no, just drugs.
No, the bit is drugs. And she wants to speak to the embassy
mm-hmm.
or someone in menopause. And Carrie worries that it's getting very Midnight Express. And we leave the airport and Samantha is already worried about growing a beard. They each get their own car.
Their own Maybach.
Yeah, and Miranda's very excited that she's sitting in her own air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. How much is a Maybach? I don't know what a Maybach is.
So today, a 2020 Maybach would be $173,000. So not a cheap vehicle. So Mahmoud is with them again. We see the same guy who had been at the after party. And I think it's weird that Charlotte's like, do I have the right international code? And they sort of scoff at her.
Yeah.
So she's just asking a damn question.
Hey, can't help with that. I'm like, why not?
Yeah, it's probably. Do you not know it?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like just a number or two. Anyway, I thought that was kind of weird. And then I wrote, Cynthia Nixon, Tony Award winning Cynthia Nixon, respected, revered theater actress Cynthia Nixon, gubernatorial candidate Cynthia Nixon,
lesbian,
legend in our time Cynthia Nixon. Is forced, I'm assuming at gunpoint, to say the line.
Abu Dhabi do.
No! No! How dare you? And she does her best.
Yeah.
She makes it work as well as she possibly can. I am personally offended.
For Cynthia Nixon.
Yes.
They're like, you know what? We'd love to have you back soon. Just a couple things. First, you're going to wear this penis wig. And then we're just going to have you yell Abu Dhabi do.
It's so upsetting. It's very upsetting. So we arrive at what looks like to me like a palace.
Yeah.
I feel like this must have been a palace at one point.
Miss Jones, I am Mrs. Safir, the hotel manager. I trust your flight was pleasant.
Like a magic carpet.
How charming.
They all receive cards. Miranda shows off more of her Middle Eastern knowledge. We found out the World Cup trials are happening, and Samantha's a little too excited about it, maybe.
Yeah, because there's, like, men there.
Yeah. They have a private elevator. They're in the Jewel Suite. I spelled it S-W-E-E-T.
I just wrote, so pretty much everything's over the top.
Yeah, they each get their own butler.
Mm-hmm.
I only wrote down Rafa Jaffrey. He ends up being Carrie's butler because he's the most famous of the actors. He was also in Smash. He was the boyfriend
yes,
in Smash.
Yes, I recognized him.
He also did a stint on Homeland and was in the first season of Code Black.
Okay.
Charlotte is now going by York.
Yeah.
Because she's afraid of having a Jewish last name.
York? What happened to Goldenblatt?
It's the Middle East.
It's the new Middle East.
It's the Middle East.
They have their own bar. They have a kitchen. They have an informal lounge. I just wrote this place is pretty insane.
Yeah.
This place is a house.
And sometimes I think that, like, when friends of mine are, like, showing me their, when they've gotten upgraded at a hotel, or even when I've been in a hotel and it's outrageous, I'm thinking, who would need this stuff? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I see that cocktails arrive, and they look like the same cocktails that greeted them in Mexico. I don't know if you remember those, but it was like orange with like red at the bottom.
Oh,
they look the exact same cocktail that when they arrived at the place in Mexico that they were handed.
That's funny. The props person was like, whip that one together.
Looked good last time. So we find that women are required to dress in a way that doesn't attract sexual attention.
Oh.
Miranda gets Samantha to cover up. Carrie says that she's a little freaked out by the over-the-mouth scarf.
I just wrote Carrie's being offensive.
I think it's offensive if she went and was like, I'm freaked out by your scarf. I'm a little freaked out when women are forced to cover their faces. I understand that it's a religious thing. I'm not saying how dare they. I'm not saying take that off. But there is part of me that's like, why do we want to put things over women's faces? And I know that there are women who wear that on purpose. Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm not saying that it is all about persecution. But there is a part of me that feels that is my instinct of like, why are we trying to silence the women? Why are we trying to hide the women?
And I think it's, you know, just we... It's one of those things where it's like you don't know enough about it, right? Like, and that's what I think a lot of the problem with this film is that if Carrie would have said what she said, like, oh, it freaks me out when they have this, and maybe what would have been a better approach would have been her talking to a woman in the film about it or something, the film, Sex in the City too. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that's the thing. It's like you would be also willing to have a dialogue with someone and you understand that there's more to it. You're just making an observation of your first reaction as like an American man.
Yeah, but I will agree and disagree with you because I understand respecting other people's traditions and other people's ways of doing things, but you're never going to convince me that it isn't somewhat about oppressing women. I'm never going to be convinced that there isn't at the core of it something to do with keeping women down. And I will have the conversation, and if anyone wants to like send me a mean message, I guess, you know, I'll read it. But I'm never going to be convinced that there isn't at the core of it something having to do with oppressing women. And if that's your culture, that's your culture. But I'm not gonna like actively get in your face and tell you that I don't like it. But there's gonna be part of it that's not gonna like it.
Yeah, I don't.
We're getting into Middle Eastern politics here. A lot of people don't know that I'm an expert at that. I'm not. And I'm not trying to pretend like I am. But there is definitely a part of me that will always have a little bit of that, like, let the women talk. Anyway, we digress.
I just think that in regards to Sex in the City too, Carrie could have just chosen her words a little bit better.
Yeah, but now we're getting back into that thing of like, should they not talk like people talk? Like we're theoretically just hearing a conversation amongst four best friends.
Right.
And I'm not against tempering the way that characters speak to try to reflect better, more enlightened people. I'm not against that at all. But there are certain moments I think where like, it kind of freaks her out.
Right. And yes, and I think, well, we'll just keep moving forward.
Let's talk about this for another hour. So Charlotte can't get in touch with Harry, and Carrie says that she's having an interfriendship, and Samantha's already in a bad mood. Oh, and then we cut to a clock, and apparently they arrived on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you, because it's now 3 o'clock in the morning on August 26th. I maybe might take this moment to bring up the fact that didn't Brady just win a prize at school? Maybe it was summer school.
Oh,
I'll also bring up, didn't they have to hurry up and go before it's the hottest time there? Wouldn't end of August be fairly hot?
I don't know about how it is there.
Yeah, I don't know either. But those are moments when I was like, August 26th, that's fun. And also brings up a few things for me.
Also a few ideas.
Also, we're going to celebrate 4th of July at the end of this movie. Spoiler alert, maybe it really is a whole year later. Yeah. I don't know. Just a few things that stuck out for me.
Just a couple things to think about.
So they're all in bed and Carrie can't sleep. So she goes to the kitchen to get some milk.
To drink warm milk.
And then reacts like Elise dropped a piece of chicken or something.
Oh, God.
I freak out sometimes.
And I suppose in this moment, it is very like called for that suddenly there's a person standing behind you. Also, there is a purpose behind warm milk. Apparently, it's like the mixture of the calcium in the milk that can help you sleep. Plus the warmth of the liquid will help you sleep. So there is a reasoning behind it. But I agree that it kind of grosses me out a little bit. And I guess she didn't release her butler. And I'm a little confused about how that works.
Right. And why didn't they tell her to?
Right. And would he have just had to live there forever if she never released him?
If you will permit me, might I suggest a touch of cinnamon? Mm. It is a secret learned from my wife.
And he references his wife. And we find out that she lives in India. And he gets to see her about every 3 months. Which sort of brings up Carrie saying, like, that must be really hard for you.
Time does not matter. When we see each other each time, it is very wonderful. I'm a lucky man.
So we have a breakfast buffet in the room.
I still think it's weird that Carrie just woke up, though, in the middle of the night. I understand. You're like, yeah, it works because the calcium, blah, blah, blah. But, like, it just doesn't seem like Carrie Bradshaw to do.
It is a little I mean, we've certainly never seen her warm up milk before.
No.
When she couldn't sleep in New York.
Yeah. Like, sorry, big, I just need to heat this up.
So we have a breakfast buffet in the room. Samantha thinks that her butler is gay.
How much food waste were you mad about here?
Oh, there's so much food on that table.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty upsetting. And maybe the butlers get to eat it when they're done.
Like us after we worked like a buffet party and we all sat in the back with some chicken tenders.
I've definitely done that. It's all overcooked at that point. Charlotte arrives and Samantha's eating hummus.
I read online that chickpeas are high in natural estrogen. So are yams. Paula Abdul's getting me some later.
Is she here too?
Carrie talks about Garou. I hope I'm saying his name right.
Yeah, Garou.
And Miranda wants to go to the market.
Mm-hmm. The souk?
Who's up for a morning trip to the souk in old Abu Dhabi?
What's a souk?
It's a market where you can buy gold, spices, textiles, and souk things.
I'm in. One sip, then souk.
So Carrie has sunglasses on a stick.
Yes, and she says, yeah, one sip, then souk. One sip, then full costume change. Yeah, so Carrie, this is like kind of an iconic outfit.
Is it?
Well, I've seen it quite a bit. It's that Dior shirt with the really cool purple skirt, which I think was actually a slip. And Miranda's outfit is very opening number from Ragtime.
Okay, I can see
that. It's like all white with the hat.
And Garou warns her about the forbidden experience.
You must not have the forbidden experience.
Oh, okay.
Men may approach you with black market switches. If you engage them, they will move you into a room and try to sell you other items. It is illegal. Other than that, you'll not have to worry. People here are very honest.
So it's going to happen at some point.
Right. It's like, okay, at some point that's going to happen.
Let's clock this.
Right. Like, that's going
to
happen.
That's there for a reason. This looks like a nightmare to me, for the record. I would not enjoy this experience at all. I don't enjoy crowds, even when there's not a pandemic. Like, I don't enjoy, like, the idea of maybe having to barter, or I don't know if there's bartering happening. I just would not enjoy this experience.
Right.
I would be at the hotel
crying.
No, I'd be at the hotel having a nice time. I'd be if I was at the market, I would be crying.
And that's it for part two. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. And Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put a link on Facebook or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with the third and final part of the second Sex and the City movie.
And it was awkward, right? Sorry, Mike. I brought over these aged cheddar horseradish potato chips. And I think they're good. I don't know yet.
I can't tell.
Yeah, I don't. Mike's like, I'm going to
have
one. I have
another one.
So anyway, Tim gone.
So he refers to Abu Dhabi.
Bye, bye,
Dubai. Is that what we were going for?
Yeah, or like Dubai, bye, bye.
Okay.
But like they didn't think of that one, which they come up with Abu Dhabi do.
No,
so
we're going to talk about that when we get to it, and it's going to be a conversation.
Okay, sorry. A motel is when you can like enter from the outside. Like, okay. And a hotel is like nice.
I thought that's where hoes stayed.
Why you take a hoe to a hotel? Hotel everybody, even the mayor. Reach up into the sky into the hoe zone layer. That's from Use a Hoe. I know. I have some tricks up my sleeve. Ludacris's Use a Hoe is one of them. Yeah, these chips are weird. It's like, am I eating chemical?
Yeah, it's very, they're odd. I don't want to put them down, but I'll probably keep eating them.
Yeah,
to be honest.